subscribe to the Resistance broadcast. There it will stay until called for. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Resistance broadcast. I'm John Hoey. Thank you so much for joining us today. It is Thursday when this show is dropping. You may be listening over the weekend between football games. Who knows? But we are excited for you to join us because we are doing our first ever dive into one particular character. And our patrons voted for this guy. And I have to say, I'm kind of happy about it because I'm a fan. Sheev Darth Sidious Emperor Palpatine.
Not a fan.
Yes, that's right. The loafer wearing Prince of Darkness himself. We're going to dive into him a bit later and talk all about the Emperor. And we have, of course, a lot of great topics otherwise to talk about. And, of course, your Resistance transmissions at the end of our show. So let me now bring in James Bainey and Lacey Gillerin. Guys, first off, let me ask you both, how excited are you to talk about Sheev, the Emperor Palpatine?
Well, this is not good because, yeah, I did like a 12-page essay on Poe.
Why is the paper blank then?
So, that's the back.
That was such a long setup. If you're not watching on YouTube, James was flipping pages throughout my whole intro.
I'm gonna have to wing this one, I think.
BS. You studied. Shut up.
I'm gonna have to X-wing this one.
Okay. Very good.
All right.
Oh, jeez. Hey, guys. How's it going? Excited to talk about Star Wars. I got my Kylo Ren shirt on.
Hey!
Very Kylo good, Ren. Very good. Now, Lacey, you're not the biggest Palpatine fan, I think, admittedly.
I hate him.
That is the great grandson of Palpatine.
Now, Lacey, you liked... He's doing that inference that Palpatine is Vader's dad. You know,
gross.
The whole thing. Lacey, now, you were a big fan of Palpatine up until The Last Jedi. Is that correct?
No.
I'm just kidding.
No.
John
jokes. Asked me today, he's like, I love him. I was like, I know. He's like, why do you hate him? I was like, because he's a creepy old dude. Gross. He's like, Snoke.
Yeah, I liked him until Luke mentioned him as Darth Sidious, and then I was like, lost it, jumped the shark.
He's just so creepy. But to be fair, creepy means he's a very good villain, and I understand that, and I appreciate it. It's just he's so creepy, and he's creeped me out since I was little, so like I just don't like him.
I thought he was the dual protagonist, the Revenge of the Sith, but that's just how I took it.
All right, guys, before we talk about Palpatine...
I'm just kidding. So we're going to do kind of an open format on Palpatine. We don't really have a structure. We're not doing a chronological. We're not doing a blah, blah, blah. We're just going to talk about him for 25 minutes or so, and we hope you guys enjoy it. But
AKA
as James
John's
said...
John's going to talk about him for 25 minutes.
It's going to be a monologue. before we do that, we do need to hop into our segment called Will of the Force. So, James, where's my buddy Chirrut?
I fear nothing. All this, as the Force wills it.
All right, guys. We are doing this a little bit differently. I'm going to do it like Jimmy Fallon's Blow Your Mind skit. So we're
what
just going to jump in.
Yeah, no idea.
You'll find it. So this week's questions are pretty good. I think they're going to be fun ones. We're just going to kick it off with this one right here that people have been asking for a little while, right? Speculating on. First question is, will Darth Vader's castle appear in episode 9? The answer may surprise you.
What?
Lacey, you're up. Will Darth Vader's castle appear in episode 9?
No, I don't think it will. No, it will not appear in episode 9.
Connectivity, though, right? John,
don't
will
care.
It connect?
Yes, it will.
Really?
Yes! Yes!
Yeah. And that will
yes.
be... That will be your Vader appearance in episode 9, because Anakin's not showing up, Vader's not showing up, but you'll
Ghost
get the
Vader.
Relic. You'll get the relic of his castle, and it will crumble.
The legacy of the dark.
It will crumble on top of Ben Solo's dead body.
Okay, it hurts even more when you say Ben Solo. Can you at least promise me not to say Ben Solo dies? Can you just keep it with Kylo, because you've been saying Kylo up until now.
All right, as long as you let me yell Ben like Han Solo real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
I vote that you switch back and forth. You're like, Kylo is definitely going to be the villain. And Kylo by the end of it, Ben Solo will kill himself.
Something about it hurts a little bit more when you say Ben Solo.
What about Kylo Ben?
No.
What about Kylo Solo?
Oh, James,
what about
shirt
Kai
idea.
Solo.
Shirt idea.
Kai Solo.
Half face split. We call it Kylo Ben. Half he looks like Ben Solo. Half he looks like Kylo Ren.
Have the mask on one side, have the face on the other.
Kylo Ben.
Kylo sure. Ben.
Is he shirtless?
It's just his
it's
face.
It's his head. Floating head.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
All right. We're going to move on to the next one. And this one actually comes from...
Wait, hold on. Leave in the comments if you would buy that shirt.
Yeah, please do that. YouTube comments or comments on any one of the places where
Kylo
this is
Ben,
posted,
would you buy it?
Like Star Wars News Net or on the Patreon. All right, next question is brought to us specifically from our Patreon Admiral Brian Pothier. Pothier, correct me on that.
Like
let me know how to say it. Pothier, like a father. Pothier, like a father. All right. He says he wants to know. Will there be any surviving Skywalkers by the end of episode 9? The answer may surprise you.
Can you stop saying
that? Yeah, that has to be it. That's it.
What?
That.
What do you?
That's how it's done.
Yeah, but Jimmy Fallon stinks.
He does.
It's not Jimmy Fallon. This is Questlove, baby. Questlove, baby. All right,
I'm
we need to get back
you
to Star
off
Wars.
The island. Stop.
Will there be any surviving Skywalkers by the end of episode 9, John?
I think I'm flipping back. I think Leia's dying, so I'm going to say no. I think they're all dying.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
She's an Organa.
Hold on. Pause for a sec. Can we pause, Will the Force? You said a week ago that you agreed with me that you thought she was going to survive.
I know, but
then... Why all of a sudden are you switching?
Because my original thought was she's going to be a Force ghost, and then James's idea about Luke bringing her to the Force ghostness, I like that. So I'm flipping back. I'll probably flip back again, because I'm allowed to, free country.
No way.
I'm going to say no. It's the end of the Skywalker saga, so when episode 10 rolls around, they all going to be dead.
She's Organian, though.
Including Kylo Ben. Organian. Kylo Ben will be dead.
All right. I'm going
to
say...
It's going to be a painful episode for Lacey.
This is the worst episode of my life.
I'm going to say that there will be no Skywalkers for all those same reasons. Luke's already dead, and Leia will be something not alive. I know it sounds weird to say, but she'll be something not alive. And Kylo Ren won't be either. And I'm sorry, let me say that again. Ben Solo will not be alive.
And James... All joking aside, the reason why I'm starting to think that, in addition to what you were saying last week about her going into the Force Ghost realm, I could see them wanting the character to end with Carrie and not carry her on into books and stuff.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. All right, Lacey, what do you think?
I think that there will be surviving Skywalkers by the end of episode 9. I use the term Skywalkers as plural because I think Leia's living through it, and I think Ben's gonna survive.
Will Rey be a Skywalker?
Oh, she already is in her mind.
Yeah. Will she adopt the name Skywalker? This is another Will of Force question. So let's move on to the actual Will of Force questions and save that one for later.
Yeah, save it for another time.
Or just listen to my pitch for episode 9 where I said she will.
Take the name Skywalker?
Yeah.
I basically said that too, just in a different way. Go ahead.
Like, totally.
Will Janina Gavankar, couldn't say it. Janina Gavankar ever play Iden Versio in a live action Star Wars series or film? The answer may surprise you.
Come on, man.
What? This is how it. All right. Lacey, what do you think? Janina?
No. She's in video games and video games only. She will never play Iden Verso or Versio in a live-action Star Wars series or film.
Interesting.
She stays in Battlefront.
All right, John, what do you think? Do you think that she could make the on-screen appearance?
No, she won't.
So you were surprised by her answer that was the same as yours.
I was faking.
That's good acting.
Thank you.
That's called acting.
acting!
I think that she won't too, but I think it wouldn't be that crazy to slip her in somewhere in the background like they've done with some stuff. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that her age span, lifespan crosses over any time that we would ever mm-hmm. see a live action film. Shall right. I say that?
Right.
So I don't think it's possible for those reasons, for canonical reasons.
By the way, I saw her at the after party at the Last Jedi premiere. She is beautiful. Blocked it.
No, this is a block.
Oh, cross. Dang it.
Cross. All right, moving on to the next one. Will Star Wars Episode 9 be the last time Adam Driver ever portrays Kylo Ben? The answer may surprise you. John, yep. I'm going to you on this one first. Adam Driver is great. He's a great actor. He's got a long career ahead of him, and he is going to turn his back on Star Wars and never portray this character ever again, right?
You're talking live action, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I would think so. Because, I mean, he'll end up in games or something, you think? You don't think?
He records the Lego stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he'd show up for whatever, right? We're talking game, or we're talking movies, right?
That's what I'm saying, right? We're keeping this strictly a live action.
John's timing us to see how long we're taking up of his answer time, right?
No, yep. John, we're waiting longer, for you to answer.
Longer yeah. than, well, then shut your trap. Longer than my Scoundrels rundown from Monday, which was exactly 1 minute. I think it will. Adam Driver reminds me a little bit of a hungry actor. He's getting into the award stuff. It reminds me of the Harrison Ford stuff where he's like, I did that. Now it's time to get going in my other stuff. I think his character is going to die. I know Lacey's upset about that. And I think he's going to be all set. And I think it's going to be three incredible performances. I think episode 9 is going to be his best yet. I think it's going to be the best acted performance in the Star Wars history. But I think he's going to go out on that high note. And I think that will be it for Adam Driver. So, yes, it will be the last time he plays Kylo Ren.
All right. What's the opposition to that? Or do you agree with John, Lacey? Will he ever play Kylo Ren again?
I think that this will be the last time we see Adam Driver play Kylo Ren in a movie. However, he's going to live.
Okay. So
last time, because he doesn't want to do yeah, Star Wars movies anymore,
which is fine. So yeah. 10, 11 and 12 will feature Daisy Ridley and he died kids. Because he got sick.
I just said, no, he doesn't die.
No, he doesn't die in episode 9. He dies before episode 10 because he got sick and he wasn't going to show up in this movie.
Yeah, that's a problem for you, Lisa.
He had a heart attack.
It's not a problem. They don't
he
have
died
to have
on an
movie.
Adventure and he was killed by a giant tentacle squid, right?
What? Now it's up James Sal. So James, what's your take then?
My take is I don't think there's going to be a 10, 11, and 12, and I think they're going to end the story with...
Oh,
with,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Do you understand we each just gave different perspectives while also agreeing?
Yeah, we all agreed, but for multiple realistic reasons.
There's a lot of episode left, Gillerin. There's a lot of episode left.
Yeah. All right, so let's do the next one. Will Rian Johnson's previously announced new trilogy ever be made?
John's really stuck on
the
this.
The answer... Hold on, Lacey, I'm not done. The answer may surprise you.
Is the Resistance broadcast losing listeners and subscribers? The answer... won't surprise you.
It's creeping me out how James looks in the camera when he says it.
Oh,
stop
my
doing
God.
That.
What are you talking about? This is a podcast. Nobody
this is
going to
be our most. This is going to be our most dislike clicked on video ever.
No, they're just going to write James is a banana in the comments.
Right. James is a creepy banana.
That's true. You guys aren't answering the questions. John, I've already sent to you. No, I didn't.
John, I know you're dying to answer this question because you've been asking Rian Johnson mm-hmm. every day.
Oh,
for
I'm
the past
first.
Two mm-hmm. weeks.
I go first.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. What do you think?
No.
He said no.
Yeah, I think I tweeted at him and I asked him for an update and he didn't answer. So
clearly.
I'm gonna say no, the Rian Johnson trilogy is not happening.
Okay, well, unlike John and his fantasy of tweeting him and not getting an answer, if
he's not returning my calls.
Yeah, right. If one were able to contact Rian Johnson and get an actual public answer, or if they contacted Lucasfilm and got an actual public answer, the answer is yes. So that is what I'm going to say. It's because that right now is the answer. Yes, this is being made. Yes, we're still working on it. No, don't listen to people online. This is happening. That's what I'm going with, because that's the latest word we've heard, and there's no reason to distrust that it's all falling apart behind the scenes because we haven't heard anything. Lacey, what do you think?
So it's funny you say that, because Bob Iger gave an interview, and in an interview he didn't mention this trilogy. So I'm going to say no, this trilogy is not happening anymore, because he mentioned all their upcoming projects and mentioned the guys from Game of Thrones and did not mention Rian Johnson. So if he was going to still do this, even to save face, he would have mentioned Rian Johnson, and Bob Iger did not. So I think that's a sore subject with him, and I think that this is not happening. And they're keeping it for as long as they can until they have something else to announce instead.
Well, yeah, you know why? Because if they do announce that it's not happening,
then all the people are going to say, see, we told you Last Jedi sucked. Right.
Yeah.
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 That's another thing that I'm thinking too. Is
or
like,
they're going to say, we influenced this. We made you make this decision.
Think about Colin Trevorrow, how long they held off on talking about him.
Yeah, but then it was quickly like, wait, JJ's back? Yeah!
No, but I'm saying because of the Phil Lord and Chris Miller thing, they waited to do the Colin Trevorrow thing. Remember we talked to Roka about that? Yeah. So I could see this being in a very similar situation, that they're waiting for something else to come along so that they can kind of pile this on top. We did this all the time at my old jobs for Comic Cons. When you'd have a person cancel, you immediately have someone else replace that cancellation so that it takes the attention away from the cancellation.
Yeah.
Cool story, bro.
It's just smart marketing. So.
Yup. It's like that Endgame thing I was talking about before. Like, they're worried about one piece of news, so they're going to fill it with other news.
Exactly. Did you guys know Episode 9's title came out just now?
It did.
I'm reading it's Episode 9, Ben Game.
You're the worst, but no, this is not happening.
That's pretty good.
Sorry, Rian. I think the Sabacc chips are not in your favor.
I tweeted Ren Game a while back.
Great. Like, isn't there one more question?
Got like a few likes.
Yes. This last question also came from one of our patrons. This is a patron, Admiral. Don Boring sent over this question. He's not boring. That's what he put in as his surname. Will we see a surprise character return in Episode 9? And if yes, if your answer is yes, then quickly give us a guess at who you might think it could be. The answer may surprise you.
I don't understand this. Like,
neither do I.
James is all about authenticity and organic content, and he's ripping off one of the hackiest bits.
Hackiest hack hacks.
Yeah.
Don,
it's not hacky. If they get the answer wrong, they get something random blown in their face. It's called blow your mind.
Yeah, but we're not. That's just blow your face.
Why don't you just say that for when I jam a pie in your face at Celebration when the Kenobi movie's announced?
I can't, because I won't be the person receiving the pie.
Just for all our listeners, just for James, I'm going to make it a banana cream pie.
Because he's a banana.
No, you guys are the ones that are like, you can't be a real pie. It's got to be whipped cream in a container. All right, guys, so let's do this. Don Boring asked us a very specific question, and it is pressing. It is important that we get this answer sent out to him. A surprise character showing up in Episode 9. Lacey, what do you think?
Can you go to someone else? I need a second to think about this.
Looking for someone else. Looking... you in the red. John.
Me?
It's John, right?
Who, me?
John, right?
Okay. Yes, I think we'll see a bunch of surprise characters return in Episode 9, and one of them will be Wedge Antilles.
Wow.
Guaranteed.
Really? Really?
Guaranteed. You know why?
Guaranteed.
Yes, I'll tell you why. Because it's the last opportunity for him to show up. It makes a lot of sense. He's out there somewhere. Wedge ain't dead. And Dennis Lawson made a turnaround to Star Wars, came at Celebration and tamed at Celebration 2017, embraced it again after making fun of it for years. He's going to pop in, make a little paycheck, And, you know, he's Ewan McGregor's uncle. Ewan McGregor's making that Obi-Wan Kenobi movie. He's like, uncle, go get that paycheck. Episode 9, Wedge Antilles coming back at you. Episode 9, book it.
You know, I think it might be possible. The script has already been written, though, so they might end up having to wedge him in there.
What is happening?
This All bit right. is not working.
Okay. No, there's not going to be anybody in the surprise characters. I don't think. I think the story is going to be the main thing. There's no one going to be showing up. Like this is the fan dream. This is like, oh dude, Biggs, Porkins, they're all going to show up. I know this. My point though is like it's like, but they're gonna. This is going to connect everything. They're going to figure out a way to. Palpatine's going to be in there.
Nope.
Anakin's going to be in there. Nope. Wedge is gonna be in there.
Yep.
You're like, yep, got me on that one.
Wouldn't it make sense for Wedge to be there though?
I think yes. No, and there's already gonna be in there.
We have
Lando's coming back. Why can't Wedge?
We've talked ad nauseum about how much they have too many threads. They have too many characters, too many things. How much is Lando gonna be in this movie, really? And that's Lando.
Could be a hut.
I think a hut.
All right, so Lacey's saying yes, and the surprise is a hut.
But that's not a surprise character. That's a new character.
No,
that's
not a hut. We know.
We only know one.
Zero.
Well, you're talking about he's dead. From the Clone Wars.
Yeah, I think they're like all
Rakkus,
right?
Yeah, Rakkus.
Grakkus.
Grakkus.
Grakkus. All right, Lacey, what do you think? Surprise characters.
I just answered the question. What are you
I'm
on
sorry.
Tonight?
Yeah, a hut.
Oh
a
my
hut.
Gosh.
I'm sorry. All right. Well, then that's it, guys. Mingo. The answers did surprise me. So I was right, really.
So you're saying a staunch no? It's going to be zero surprise return characters?
Zero surprise. Yeah, like a big reveal. Like
also, somebody, Han Solo's going to be in episode 9.
The doors open up and you're like.
James?
I think Obi-Wan's going to be in the movie. I think.
No. No,
Vader's gonna be in the movie. I think Yoda's gonna be in the movie.
Han Solo will be in a flashback.
You kind of got me on that one. No, not Qui-Gon. What are you talking about?
Han Solo will be in the movie, and then I guarantee Wedge Antilles is in it. I will guarantee that.
Yaddle.
All right.
That's it, guys. That's all we got for Will of the Force this week. Like I said, the answers did surprise me, so I was right. These were good questions, John. I'm glad you wrote them up. And these were even better questions, Admirals. I'm glad that you got yours in instead of the two that John cut from this list.
That's because
they were terrible.
That's good.
What other two he had. All right.
Very good. Okay, guys, let's move it on to our discussion.
Obi-Wan once thought as you do.
Sheev Palpatine, Darth Sidious, the Emperor. Basically, guys, what we're doing here is we're going to start every once in a while filtering in these segments where we're going to be talking about one character in particular, but the character has to have had a beginning and an end. So a character whose story arc is not finished yet, we're not going to touch until that's done. So what we're doing here, we know this guy fell down the reactor core. He dead. It's time to talk about Sheev, Darth Sidious, the Emperor, Palpatine, Senator, all that stuff. From Sovereign Planet Senator to Galactic Ruler, Emperor Sheev Palpatine is one of the most fleshed out characters in Star Wars, in addition to being one of the most intriguing, in my opinion. A smart, calculating, manipulative planner who happened to also be the Dark Lord of the Sith. It is time for us to do what must be done, and that is talk about Palpatine. Guys, let's just open it up. In my opinion, one of the most important, one of the most fleshed out, one of the most interesting characters in Star Wars history, and I love him. I love him. So, where do you want to start with Sheev?
How about the beginning?
You want to do Chrono? Okay. I mean,
but
if that's what you
want to do. I do find it the whole thing interesting of how much he was pulling the strings and then from his beginnings to where he ended up, because he is the stereotypical Star Wars doesn't get along with his parents and then he ends up ruling the galaxy. Like, talk about going from A to B. And he definitely pulled the strings. We've talked about him being a puppeteer a lot.
Yeah,
he owned everyone.
I think one of the most intriguing parts of his character for me is how almost more powerful his just organic, like not even force power manipulation was in government.
Than politics, yeah.
Than his, because he was able to manipulate a naive queen in Naboo, get her to do what she needed to do to get Valorum out of there so he can hop in. All those steps that he took there while also being the Dark Lord of the Sith. I mean, it's crazy to think that it's possible to consider his actions from a political standpoint may have been more of a vault for him into power than his force abilities as the Dark Lord of the Sith. So yeah, he just also did, so multi-layered, it's crazy.
Yeah, and he also did things like, he's the one that suggested Anakin go with Amidala to Naboo to like stand guard. Like, he's the one that played that angle as well. So like, there are so many different parts of the whole scenario of the war, of politics, of Anakin, of everything, that he was just constantly had his foot in every door, so to speak. Like, he was like, okay, over here, I'm running this, vote for no confidence. Oh, and then make me High Chancellor. While I'm doing that, I'm also going to have an apprentice. Also, I'm going to take care of Dooku. Also, I'm going to play, you know, Amidala and have her fall in love with my then apprentice. Like, he was playing all the different angles. And the amount of power and intelligence that goes behind that one person, like, it's just insane that one person can cause that much damage and change the course of, like, the entire galaxy. I don't like him. I hate him.
Yeah,
you know, like, that's an insane character story.
I'm not saying it's a bad character and a bad story. I'm saying I don't like him.
Yeah.
He's gross.
Oh, so, you're just saying, okay.
He's creepy.
I got you.
You know, it's classic sociopath. He knows how to harp on people's insecurities and fears. Mm-hmm. I think that's right. What made him so powerful from just a human level. Mm-hmm. He knew what worried Anakin, because Anakin confided in him. So he knew all of his fears. Anakin was just like, here's all my stuff. Here's all the tools to take me down.
Here's my baggage. Moving on in.
Right, right. And didn't even, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't even Palpatine like remind him again about the Sand People with his mother? Like, yeah. Didn't he even say, like, remember your mother with the Sand People? Like,
he told him about bringing people back from the dead. And then he talked about, like, how Padme, because he had told him about the dreams he was having about Padme. Like, he confided in him and he, like, played him so hard. Which, time and time again, I hate to say it, guys, Darth Vader's awesome. Anakin's an idiot. And, like, he's another character that I just, like, can't stand. He's an idiot.
I got some criticisms a while ago about comparing Star Wars to Mean Girls, but that's Sidious, man.
Regina George.
Yeah, he's in there and he's like, I don't know, sounds like so-and-so, just like, you know, making up stuff that's going to make people like start
like
to
so like cute.
Put exactly.
That is the ugliest bracelet I've ever seen.
Exactly. Like, and you remember, it's like she remembers back to when that was said to her and she was able to kind of see through it, but like done in the right way. Like, people like that are super manipulative and they make people like, they undermine people and make them feel a specific way. And like all that type of manipulation, like you have to be smart and you have to understand what you're doing to be able to manipulate multiple people and like faculty and political and all that other stuff to be able to do stuff like this. Real quick, I did just before we got like too deep into this, I wanted to kind of give a quick rundown on his Wikipedia about his affiliations, which are the Sith Order, the Royal House of Naboo, the Galactic Republic, the Galactic Senate, the Trade Federation, the Confederacy of Independent Systems, and the Galactic Empire. And then this was interesting too, because this is the other side of him. Granted, I said Sith Order in the last one, but his master was Darth Plagueis, but his apprentices were Darth Maul, Darth Tyrannus, Darth Vader, the Inquisitorius, and Gallius Rax.
And Luke Skywalker.
No.
Well, he called him. He called him my young apprentice, whether Luke agreed it or not.
Yeah. Well, in Legends, he became.
You know what's interesting about Palpatine too is not once he gets you, Then he makes sure you stay there.
He sinks his hooks in.
And, you know, I'm not too in with the comics thing, but when he gave Vader Padme's starship to remind him, like, reopen the scar, that is so friggin' evil, man. Like, it's unbelievable how he's like, I need to make sure this guy stays exactly where I need him to be. And it makes me think, like, he probably
blamed himself for it. He said that you got so angry you killed her.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny, like, I wonder, like, how much he taught Vader in terms of the dark side and using the dark side, because he was cognizant of the fact that Plagueis made the big mistake of teaching him everything he knew, which led him to kill him. So I wonder what he kept from Vader to make sure he didn't pull the same tricks on him.
Well, I was just sitting there thinking about how you guys said it was like manipulative to say like, oh, it looks like in your anger, you killed him. You know, it kind of reminds me of like when people are like, like one person's got a gun and the person's like, shoot him, shoot him, shoot him. And then like when they do shoot him, it's like, you shot him. You know, like immediately.
No,
like,
you know what they're saying? It's like, Tommy Boy.
You're
with
putting
the
all the pressure. Yeah. You're putting What'd all you the do? Pressure. on that person, and it's definitely a we did this until the crime is actually committed,
well,
and then all of a sudden it's a look what you did. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's
you
what
did this
the Dooku thing where he's like, now kill him, and Anakin is like, I can't, and he's like, just do it.
Says, I
shouldn't do this.
And then after he does it, he says, I shouldn't have done that. It's not the Jedi way. And Palpatine says, you had no choice.
Yeah, like he plays him. Yeah. Anakin's so dumb.
You know what, though?
I have to talk about him in another episode.
Say, like, in the prequels, I felt like Lucas got a little too close to, like, obvious with, like, the Palpatine stuff. Like,
what do you mean?
I
had this discussion recently, and I think that's because we already knew.
Yeah,
I don't think he's given you anything that,
if
it was really supposed to be a plot twist, right, it wouldn't have been played out that way.
I don't necessarily mean it like that. I just think he went for the key strokes that reminded us of how he was in Jedi. But one thing I have to say, which is outside of the story itself, is thank goodness they fell into that casting situation where they had a 36-year-old Ian McDiarmid found by the casting director at the time for Return of the Jedi, because then you put the 88-year-old old man makeup on him, and then 20 years later you have him in his 50s, and it's perfect age timing for him to play that role again. Like, that
and
is
he carried
so
those movies
perfect. I can't believe how perfect that is. Like, Lucas must have been like, people are gonna think I'm a genius.
He's just so perfect.
It's funny too. Like you were saying, Lacey, like you were saying that Anakin was so stupid, but don't forget too, like Anakin is being preyed upon by this guy who's like basically Emperor Jigsaw.
I know.
Yeah. I'm just saying this guy is such a mastermind. Like I watch those the Saw movies and I'm like, there's no way anybody could ever plan all this out and it would just work, you know?
Right. And it's one of those things too, that he preyed on the fact that Anakin's mom was dead. So he had basically no one, and whether Obi-Wan was there for him or not, he didn't see him as being there for him.
Well, it went before that too.
Right. But all he had was Padme towards the end there. And so for him to be like, I'm going to lose her, and for him to say, well, I can help you save her, but you got to do whatever I say. He's going to be desperate enough to do it because she's the love of his life and carrying his children.
Yeah. And what we can't forget is that Lucas didn't have all this planned out. He knew that Anakin or Vader was a Jedi at one point and he fell to the dark side.
Right.
So what Lucas had to do was go back and tailor this character to make that happen for Anakin. So that's really what the Emperor is a vehicle in retrospect, because we had the Emperor in Return of the Jedi, which established who he was then. And then the shape of the character really had to do with what wound up leading Anakin into Darth Vader. And what's funny is when you think about Empire Strikes Back and you have the Emperor there in that quick scene with Vader, Originally, it was a different voice actor. It was a woman's face with monkey eyes. And remember that clean tone Emperor voice in Empire, the original version? Mm-hmm. Then they went back later and put Ian McDiarmid back in, which is great. I love that. But so McDiarmid, like when he talked about creating the voice, he's like, what would evil sound like? And he's like, I did it from the back of my throat. So he's like, then this came out like this. And he's like, that's evil coming out. So it makes sense when we hear Palpatine the Senator. Oh, hello. It's so nice to see you. But it's a surprise to be sure, but yeah. A welcome one. Then the more evil he comes, it's like the comfort zone for him is down here. So McDiarmid created that, all of that, and it helped shape the character as well. So him taking what he wanted to make in, out of the character plus what George had to make him blended into what we wound up seeing, and I just love it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, I think my problem, too, is, you know, growing up with these movies, I grew up with the originals, so I knew who Darth Vader was, and I knew who the Emperor was. Mm-hmm. So, like, when we did our commentary on our Patreon page for The Phantom Menace, and I kept making that joke like, oh, look, it's this guy again. Like, obviously, it's the Emperor. I think going into the prequels, knowing that he's the Emperor, my good-natured, like, I want everybody to have a happy ending is going, no, why are you doing this? You're being so dumb. But it's because I know where he ends up, and I drastically wanted to be like, don't do this. Don't go this way. Like, the Padme, like, please, you're breaking my heart. Like, the whole time, you're just, like, screaming at the screen, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But well, I
imagine if you knew had seen what it the other 10, way. 11 and well, I'm saying what 10, 11 and 12, what happens there. And then now you're getting to see 7, 8 and 9 right. for the first time.
And say that you'd Kylo Ren like, turns into this know. Terrible person. I'm like, no, Ben, what are you doing? Like, it's the same thing. So I think going into these movies, if I had seen the prequels first, I probably would have a different perspective than what I have right now, which is like Anakin's dumb and, you know, the Emperor is creepy, but I've always thought the Emperor is creepy because in Return of the Jedi, which is one of my favorites, you know, him being brought before, like Luke being brought before him, the whole time I was like, oh, he's the worst. Like, that was just the feeling I got from him, and like the music and like everything about him was creepy. So growing up with that view, it's not really going to change. And honestly, knowing what we know now, where he preyed on Anakin, like you said, James, like he groomed him from an early age. He manipulated him to like levels unknown. It's just, it's so creepy. It's so creepy. Mm-hmm. So it's
you
like,
you know
what? What? Go ahead, James. Then I was just going to ask you guys what your, I just what
think
your it, favorite.
I just think it's interesting that moment. He's like playing multiple games all at the same time. Right? So like we get to the end of Return of the Jedi, and we know that when he gets defeated there, he already had a contingency plan. He already had something in play that was like, if this is the worst case scenario, then execute that. Right.
Yeah.
But what's interesting about it too, is we're sitting here saying like, oh, he had this big plan about like grooming Anakin and from an early age and blah, 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 blah. But that's not necessarily the case. He intended Darth Maul to be his apprentice. He intended Darth Tyrannus to be his apprentice and his successor, you know, but these things change. So he's consistently preying on Anakin, and meanwhile, he's doing his like real business over here, which is like grooming this guy to be the next leader of the Sith, right? But then how many other people do you think that he potentially could have been preying on and saying like, that also has a potential? I know the comics put Vader up against like 5 other people who had all been manipulated in order to fight each other and to see who could come out on top. Vader was not a priority. He is interestingly pulling strings on, we tend to lead towards like one person, like, oh, he's always working on like 5 different plans for Anakin specifically. No, he's working on 5 different plans for him
for everyone.
And 5 or different plans for this other guy and these twins that are, you know, like connected with their mind. And this other dude is like a half robot, half, what's Admiral Akbar? The squid.
Mon Calamari.
People. Mon Calamari, yeah. Like, just all these crazy things that he's involved in, has his foot in. And then, like, you show him at the end of Return of the Jedi, and he's, like, talking to, like, his advisors. Like, who the heck is he?
Yeah, those creepy advisors.
Yeah, you know, they're just, like, there, like, to be, like, in in league with him in some way. In, you know, it's just like
when you really think about Palpatine, though, he doesn't give a crap about the Sith. Like the
he just
Sith
wants to rule everybody.
The Sith have a rule of two anyway. It's not like he's building up this grand army of Sith. Everything Palpatine ever did was to be a dictator in control. He was like a Hitler in Star Wars.
But that was what the Sith were after. They were looking to reclaim.
I know, but
their previous glory.
He said once more the Sith will rule the galaxy, and it's like, yeah, but you were going to rule the galaxy.
He ultimately used them to get where he wanted to go.
Yeah,
he didn't care.
He wasn't a religion guy. Like, he didn't care about the Sith. He wanted to rule the galaxy. Like, and think about it. At the end, like Operation Cinder, he's like, if I die, burn it all down.
Right.
He didn't want it. He didn't want the Empire to prosper after he died.
Right.
It was his show, and that's it.
That's all that guy cared about.
Yeah. And that's what makes him the ultimate villain.
Once he was in top priority power,
he didn't give that power to the other Sith.
No.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So I mean that's interesting.
Everybody still reported into him.
What is interesting then is to think like how did the rule of two manage to somehow like every person that it was handed to did have the Sith as the greater mind. And then at what point does he get the power? And he continues to teach new Sith, you know, new apprentices, but with no intention to ever give up that power. Like, what was different about him than every other Sith before him? Or would they have all like...
I think the difference is he didn't care about it. He didn't care about the creed. He didn't care about the oath. He used it because he had the power, and he used it to get his power over the galaxy. Well, think about it. When he talked about
Vader, every other Sith...
He said, replace your father by my side. Bye. Goodbye. Get rid of him. You'll be my apprentice now.
Right, because he takes whatever's the youngest, most powerful, next thing in line. Yeah. Just like Han Solo says, he'll use you and then get rid of you.
Yep.
With Snoke.
I feel like you guys swayed into something different than what I'm talking about, though. Because, like, what I'm saying is, like, I don't know, Plagueis, for instance, like if Plagueis did get to the top and he did rule the galaxy, would he have start to bring in more Sith? He goes, hey, the rule of two thing worked. We got here. We're at the top. And would he have started to spread the Sith love around? Does that make sense? Or,
yeah,
exactly. Whoever's on top, like, is the reason Sidious is different and he didn't follow through with what the Sith was supposed to do was because no other previous Sith had ever made it as far as he did. So he was just like, oh shoot. Well, I did it. Yeah, that's right. I did it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think when you get to a certain point at the top, you want to keep your circles small. I don't think you want to bring more people into those circles that you can't trust.
Yeah, and you never see Palpatine have any moment of, oh, I shouldn't have done that, or have a
it's always everything's going as planned.
A check of conscience, like, what am I doing? Or right. Stuff you see in Vader. It's just a guy hell-bent on domination. He schmoozed his way to the top. Like, if you look at old German propaganda movies about Hitler's rise to power, you would think that this guy was Walt Disney. Like, they would parade Hitler around, he'd be waving and kissing babies and stuff, and like the looking at it from that end is crazy. And that's how the Republic looked at Palpatine. He took this burden of this power and he's gonna help us get through
the
this
Jedi,
and
yeah.
And the whole time he's like, I can't believe these idiots.
Yeah, they
this
say the
incredible.
Best right. They say the best villains are the villains that don't think that they're doing anything wrong, that they're doing the right thing.
I won't know. Well, that I'll disagree with you because I think he knew he was doing. I think he's not that type of.
No,
I think
right
he's,
thing in the sense of they believe this is the right move for them.
No, I know. But I don't think. I don't think that
I don't think it was a virtuous
Palpatine was doing
thing,
it for the greater good, but
no,
but
he's not.
Like, he's not a Thanos. Yeah. Thanos thinks he's doing the right thing for the universe. Palpatine's like,
yeah,
it's,
like it's
Palpatine's
like
it's my
burden.
Universe. Like, it's my universe.
Yeah.
I'm not doing this
for
anything else. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's interesting to think about what the rest of the galaxy thinks because nobody is actually taking the move to get him out of power.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I misquoted it. It's the best villains are the ones who think they're doing nothing wrong.
I still think he knows he's doing something
you
wrong.
You think so? I don't think he does.
Oh, man, yeah. I think he's poisoned. I think he's the most vile, calculating person. I think
he believes in what he's doing, and he thinks that he's right.
He believes in what he's doing, but that's different than not thinking you're doing something wrong.
I think he thinks he's not doing something wrong is if he truly believes that the galaxy and the universe and the point of existence is to take advantage of everybody else and see your way to the top, which could be the case. I mean, maybe that's the way the Sith see, but I think if there's anything in him at all, he has to understand that he's hurting people and he's aware of that, but he's willing to do it because he's selfish.
He's the most selfish, period. Yeah. I mean, that everything points to
he's
that.
He's creepy. He's so creepy.
So real quick, I don't know if I dived into these facts real quick. He was born 82 BBY, so before the Battle of Yavin. So he was around 88 when he died-ish. Mm-hmm. And House Palpatine, I guess his parents were...
He was born 84.
Oh, I thought Wikipedia said you 82. Said,
yeah, he was born 84, but you were right, though, because then he died 4 years later, so he died in 88. You just did. You said 82 to 88 was...
My bad. And House Palpatine, I guess, very dignified house. And he killed his dad when he was around 17 when he met Higo Dimask, who wound up being Plagueis.
Yeah, so his dad told him to stop hanging out with him, right?
So yeah, he murdered his father at age 17. I mean, then he took off from there after being interested in the Sith. So
did he poison him? How did he kill him? Or do we not know?
Here's the thing is, I don't know. Some of this stuff showed up in the canon section and I was unsure of it. Like one of these things here, it's okay. But in the canon section, it says Sheev Palpatine was born to a very influential family. And I was like, first of all, where's that? I don't know.
Naboo.
But then it says on a Midrim planet world of Naboo, some 84 years prior to the Battle of Yavin. The very next sentence is, as far as anyone knew, Palpatine had no family of which to speak. And I'm like, mm-hmm. So that's confusing. That's contradicting to the statement we just got.
You know what, guys? They're going to cover this. They're going to do some kind of series on Palpatine, I think.
Written by James Luceno?
Yeah, there you go, James. Yeah. There you go.
I also, because I wrote a couple of these things down and I kind of forgot about them, but I wanted to kind of touch on them, so maybe we can go over them really quickly. But one of the things on the Wikipedia, too, it said, in 32 BBY, the Trade Federation invaded Naboo under Sidious's orders, and I don't think it's ever really been explained in canon why they listened to him. Like, it's like this dude who shows up, and I think the only thing he's got on him is he's like, hey, remember the Sith? Remember what they were doing? Yeah, I'm one of them, and I'm going to take you out.
That's exactly it.
You think that's exactly it?
Yes, those guys were so chicken shit.
Because then he sends Anakin to kill him, right?
Oh, in Revenge of the Sith. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's ultimately what he does. He sends them to just...
Yeah, that's part of the final order. But they even said Sith here. Like, this is my apprentice, Darth Maul. Like, those guys were chickens, and he knew it. So he just straight up said, like, I'm the Sith Lord. Like, you're going to do what I say. That's the end of it. Like, I think there's that simplicity there where George didn't need to explain that. George Lucas didn't need to explain that when he wrote that.
I think
kind
he
of
was
implied.
Watching them and knew they were weak and preyed on the weak. So he probably... A good part of his plan.
Yeah, when he wrote the characters, he's like, I got to make sure... The audience understands these guys are complete no spine yellow cowards in the Trade Federation, and that's how he got through.
I mean, I guess so, but I think I'm looking for more of like a political explanation of like I think that we would get in like a Plagueis novel or something along those lines, where like he worked himself up as an unknown person called Sidious, like to a degree to where people knew who he was and the people knew who he was powerful.
That's
but
not
it was
the
all
political
like a rumor
part to
kind
me,
of
though.
Thing.
Senator Palpatine's the political part.
No, I understand, but I'm saying I think that Sidious can still be out there and be like a force to be reckoned with. Like, I've heard about Sidious or something.
So they'll write a comic where
they
show him murder a village of Neimodians or something, and they're like, "Oh, that's the guy who killed my cousins. I better do that trade deal."
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I just would like to know, like, what caused the entire Trade Federation to start going, like, you know what? We should get into some really crazy business with this dude. Like,
unless he just gave them money.
We don't even understand, like, why we're blocking off certain planets and trade routes and stuff. And the other last thing that on here, it says at some point, and we know this, this is canon. It says by a certain point, by then, Sidious also learned that Vader had a son, Luke Skywalker. And we know that we know how Vader found out about his son, but we don't know how Sidious found out about Luke Skywalker and how they were connected. And I'm just kind of interested. I'm waiting for the day where that is like put together, like they show Palpatine going like, wait a second, hold up.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is this person.
Maybe
and it has to happen after it. Well, it has to happen after Vader already figured it out. But
I don't know. It's fuzzy to me because doesn't Vader say, how is that possible? When Palpatine's talking to him and saying the son of Skywalker must not become a Jedi?
Yep, he was lying.
Vader was lying?
Yep.
Because of the Boba Fett thing?
Yep, that's already been already been talked about.
I don't like that, but whatever.
Wait, Vader was lying to protect Luke?
To protect that he knew about his son already? Yeah, wow. It's a retcon. Yes. It's a retcon. I hate
Vader,
retcons.
Vader at that point already knew about Luke, but when Palpatine brought it up, he played like dumb. He played surprised. Yeah. And he's like, how could that be? Oh, that's interesting. Well, I'll look into it and see what I can find. Yeah, but like that just gave him a hint that Palpatine for the first time was on the trail of this, something that he already was on the trail of.
But then that sets the story ahead that he's going to protect Luke in the long run. It's foreboding.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is horrible. I don't know. I think
duel in Empire Strikes Back, that doesn't make any sense.
But that's exactly what he was doing. He was like together, me and you. As my son, we can rule the galaxy together. Yeah. You're the one saying I don't like that. I'm just saying I would like to see what was it that caused Palpatine to figure out that Luke was this person? Because it just seems like out of nowhere, he's like, oh, yeah. Before I leave real quick, I just want to let you know. Turns out.
Yeah, I don't know.
You have a son. And what was his plan for like manipulate? I mean, we kind of have an idea of maybe what that plan was. But like, what was his plan? Why tell Vader at that point? Because it just made Vader want to rebel against Sidious more.
I don't know.
Right? I don't know. It's an interesting thing that I don't quite think has been touched on. Not that it really needs to.
I don't think it needs to. But it could be another one of those stoking your fears type of thing. You know, you could put anything on it, but.
Because you have to remember, it is the son of him and Padme. So if he still has this thing with Padme where he's giving him ships that were Padme's ship and stuff, this is just another way to mess with him, saying like, look, she died, but a piece of her is in the galaxy somewhere.
Yep.
Yeah, and I don't doubt that. I just like to see it in a book or a comic or something.
Sure.
All right, so real quick before we move on, the end of Palpatine's life, it didn't go exactly as he planned. Except it did.
He
really
had a plan for his death.
Yeah. But him personally, he thought he was going to get what he wanted because he always did. And Luke Skywalker put an end to that. So any last thoughts on the end of Sheev Palpatine before we move on?
He sucks. Go Luke Skywalker and Vader. Woo.
So we kind of one of my questions would be like, this guy who's basically a master planner of every possibility didn't also have a plan for what if me and my apprentice dies, right? You would think he'd have like a backup plan, like a Gallius Rax thing where like maybe like if Gallius Rax also wouldn't have died, he would have somehow manipulated him through recordings of himself or something to try to lead him into the religion of the Sith or something. But all of this got stomped. I don't know. It's just interesting. I don't know. I feel like there's still a possibility out there that Palpatine had another plan, but we also kind of uncovered in this episode that He didn't. He felt like he was the be all end all. And yes. If
he got too cocky.
If the chess piece falls, then the rest of the pieces shouldn't be allowed to survive. That was proven in the contingency plan. So maybe the contingency plan was written specifically to write out how this mastermind character who had everything planned out
mm-hmm.
does not have a plan for another Sith to show up, you know?
Yep.
So I don't know. It's crazy, but I mean, the dude's nuts. I call him Emperor Jigsaw.
Jigsaw. Yeah. Everything and every angle he set his thing up with, whether it was the politics, the dark side, the Sith, all that stuff, it all points to him. And he's the end all be all. He wanted it all. Operation Cinder wanted it all burned down if he died. He did not care about the legacy of the Sith. He did not care about the legacy of his name. He did not care about anything beyond him. He was the end point. He was the end of the galaxy as far as he was concerned. And to me, that's the pinnacle of a villain because he has no ulterior motives outside of himself. So my
100% favorite fact about Palpatine is the fact that at one point, he was the absolute tip top of the Republic and the absolute tip top of the Confederacy, and nobody knew. Like, he was just like, hey, left troops that I own, attack right troops that I own.
Right.
This is going to be fun. Yep. And it's just, that's nuts. And then on top of that, too, the person that is directly below him is such a high political leader on one side and totally is aware of the whole plot with both sides. So you could almost say Count Dooku was like also the leader of the Republic and the Jedi as mm-hmm. well, because he was totally aware that both sides, sometimes he was going to lose fights because it was for the greater good of the Sith, if you will.
And Yoda's over there like, how'd this happen?
he totally knew when they were going to win fights, when they were going to lose fights. And Dooku was not just like, come on, Palpatine, throw me some bones on this side. It was like, yeah, that's cool if all my droids lose this battle. It's okay if I lose those systems. Right. I don't care.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because we are pulling the strings on both sides. This is awesome. I'm on the tippy top.
Everything's going as planned.
Yeah. Big shoes to fill, and I don't know that Snoke's gold robe pulled it off. But anyway, guys, let us know.
With the robe and not the shoes?
Yeah.
We've been talking about the shoes. Big Payless. Shoes to fill. Brown Payless to fill.
Let us know, guys, in the comments, wherever you're listening or watching, your thoughts on Sheev or your thoughts on our discussion about
Sheev. Favorite moment. What's your favorite moment?
Yeah, sure. Whatever your favorite moment is, hashtag Sheev thoughts, like Creed thoughts and on The Office. Whatever you think, just leave the comments in YouTube or SoundCloud or wherever the heck you're watching. Even on Twitter, hit us up at RBATSWNN. And that does it for our conversation on Palpatine. Again, we could keep going on. We could do a part two on Palpatine.
Yeah,
I loved it, but we're running out of time and we have to move on now. So what we are going to do is move on to your tweets in something very similar to this. Talk about segues. So it's time to hear from you guys in Resistance Transmissions. Lacey, let's fire them up.
Hey guys, it's time for Resistance Transmissions. So this week we are playing off our discussion with the crazy wacky situation of what were Emperor Sheev Palpatine's final thoughts as Vader threw him down the reactor core? All right. The first one is from Joe Labrosse at Kaijo_Ren. Ooh, Kaijo Ren. It's treason then. You
call
don't
back.
Say. Next is Busty at Bro Busty and says, quote, damn, what happens to my beloved slip-ons collection? Is Lazy going to take care of it? Guys, if you haven't listened to last week's episode, we talked about the Vader fan film and legit, I can't stop looking at his slip-on Payless loafers or Target brand like on sale.
He's got
sale.
Those IKEA dollar slippers.
He's got those. It's Father's Day. I don't know what to get my dad. I'll get him these slippers that he'll never wear.
Yeah.
Like those I think are that the was, slippers.
That was our episode on January 7th, a Monday show, I think. We talked about that Vader film. Yeah.
To be clear, I really loved the Vader fan film, but the slip-ons took me out of it. So,
what's really next? Good callback.
Next is Brian Pothier. Like
hey,
a Pothier,
it's Brian.
At BP Pothier. He's a
Admiral.
Patron. Yeah, thank you so much. He said, would have seen Vader coming if he said no out loud in 1983.
Thanks,
George.
Damn special editions. Too late.
Yeah.
No. All right.
No.
Why are you saying no?
Because
why are you saying no? He's like shocking him, like looking over, like, why
you know
you
what it
no?
reminds me of? Have you guys ever seen Harold and Kumar? Go to White
yes.
Castle.
Yes.
The love beginning Harold where they're Kumar. Watching that like marijuana commercial, and he goes, "I'm so high, nothing could touch me," and he puts the gun in his mouth, and he goes,
"Oh yeah,
no."
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
What yeah.
I love White Castle, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love White Castle too.
Next is Todd Speed at comma Rebels. Oh, get it. Godspeed, Rebels. Todd Speed, Rebels. Well done, Todd, at Todd Hertz. He said, did I shut the garage door this morning? That is a callback to Home Alone.
Yeah.
That's it. I didn't
imagine Palpatine had a garage. Just back in the station wagon. Just.
What do you think he'd have on his dashboard? That's a good question.
Probably just one of those Hula girls.
Probably. Next is he's like, oh, I love this.
Yeah,
he's a Death Star hanging from the rearview mirror.
It's just a stormtrooper in a grass skirt.
Yeah,
yeah.
Next is John Reese at John S. Reese, and
hey,
he says,
John, hey, way to John. Get your handle.
He says, "Quote, damn it, I never told Maz Amida to clear my browser history."
I'm telling you, that Hall of Fame Resistance yeah. transmission tweet by Genghis Dengus has legs, guys. That thing is becoming a mini little.
I have like, never laughed as hard as to clear my browser history. Okay, Bruno Du Amaral at Bruno D Amaral, way to get your handle. He said he thought, quote, I hope Operation Cinder works on my browser history, too.
Oh, so, gosh.
Boom, another browser history.
Yeah.
It's so important, though, legit, to clear your browser history. It's
very
important. Do it every day.
Yeah.
Canon Junkie at Junkie Canon says, I knew we should have put up the safety net. Cursed budget restraints.
Even the Empire is not impervious to a recession.
No.
at least he had the railings put in, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Vader did have to he drug him all the way over to that railing and then was like, all right, whew, 3, 2, 1, here we go. Over the rail.
Over yeah. the railing.
Nothing
yeah.
bothers me more yeah. in the new sequel trilogy that all the bridges and stuff don't have rails. Like who's the guy building these?
Well,
like,
well they probably figured
oh, that's not sequel trilogy. That's original trilogy. Like when the Millennium Falcon is right outside of that docking bay,
oh,
there's
yeah,
like a giant hole.
You're right, you're
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Right.
That was
and then
all,
in prequels too, like that wet planet, long neck mm-hmm. planet, they had no rails too.
In Rebels, like Kanan and Grand Inquisitor fighting, and there's no rails.
Is it because it's like more aesthetic without the rails? Is that what it is?
It's just because that's how Ralph McQuarrie drew it, right? I don't think there was anything more than
come
that.
On,
it was
guys.
Just like, hey, this futuristic
first.
World.
Safety
I think
first.
I think because George Lucas always felt that his movies were off the rails.
God. All right.
Yeah, in
up
episode
next
9,
is...
they'll have to. Wedge him in.
Up next is Adam Odell at Odell Adam. Hello, General on Patreon.
General.
Hey, there he is.
He said, I should have switched to Geico.
Oh, insurance.
Adam,
that tweet was so easy a caveman could do it.
I could totally see it being a Mayhem commercial where Vader's holding up and he's like, or like Mayhem is holding the Emperor up and he's like, I'm your apprentice. That's just that's turning on you.
Yeah.
Mayhem like me. Next is Jordan Delgadillo, a Delgadillo art. Again,
what's up, Jordan?
Awesome art. Check it out,
yes.
guys. He did a beautiful Padme piece. Mm-hmm. Record scratch. Oh, yes. I know where this is going. Record scratch freeze frame. Yep. That's me. You're probably wondering how I ended up in this situation.
Very good.
Yeah. You know, We've had a lot of conversations about viewing order, and I'm starting to lean towards you start with the middle of the end of Return of the Jedi, and you start with him throwing him over. You're probably wondering how I got here, and then episode one, The Phantom Menace.
Yeah. Guys, I think that might be one of the best ones we've ever gotten. Yep, it's pretty- that's me. You're probably wondering how I ended up in this situation, but it would have to be right when Vader has him up in the air.
Yeah.
And he's like,
no, it's when he's falling down, I would think.
Oh,
no?
Yeah, when you see the back of him, yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, you're probably wondering how I got here. And it's Ron Howard, obviously, yeah, doing the voice there.
Mm-hmm.
No, because Ron Howard would do, if he was just like, I planned for everything. And he's like, he didn't.
Right.
Yeah. He didn't.
Suit at Jaunt Lewis says, Alexa, call Snoke. Alexa, play Everybody Hurts. Alexa, yeah, play Despacito.
And is that Jaunt Lewis or is it John T. Lewis?
Despacito.
I don't know. John T. Lewis at Suit.
Okay.
Anyway.
Jauntlewis.
What?
Jauntlewis.
I guess.
First name Jauntle, last name Wiss.
James always gets goofy at the end of our Thursday episode.
He does. I can't get over that record scratch one. I love that. That's like one of my favorite names.
That is a good one.
Guys, thank you so much for your answers. If you want to be on the show, follow us at RBATSWNN on Twitter. Every week, John will put up some crazy, wacky situation, and you can provide your best, most creative answers, and then you could be on the show and I could read them. I read them live. I don't read them in advance, so you get my genuine reaction. But thank you guys so much, and we'll see you next time. Back to you, John.
Yes.
Close it home, John.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, guys. First, I want to say a shout out to our patron generals, Adam Odell, Carmelo, a.k.a. A Gray Jedi, and Valerie Trichkoff. Thank you, the three of you, for being our generals on our Patreon page. And thank you to all of our patrons. We appreciate it very much. If you guys want to check it out.
Everyone's so awesome. I just want to say that.
If you haven't checked it out yet, just hop over to patreon.com/resistancebroadcast. We have 5 tiers and we're very active. We post stuff every day. Lacey runs the page. James is working on the designs. I'm trying to come up with some ideas. We're working together to give you guys the best possible page we can. And just check it out. And if you dig it, it starts at $2 a month, all the way up to 5 tiers. Hop on board, join the resistance. Thank you, guys.
I still don't believe it's real sometimes. I get on there and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, some of these are probably bots. People like, this many people like are writing in and talking to us and stuff.
That's so
like,
cool, man.
No, they're so awesome. And my favorite part is definitely the group chat. I think that's
That was a pop star reference, by the way.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Oh. Way to be hip, James.
I am hip.
You know what is hip? Subscribing to us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, or YouTube. If you're watching us, hello. If you're listening to us, hello. But yeah, leave comments. Also follow us on Twitter at RBATSWNN, as Lacey had just said. Leave comments, tweet at us, do all that stuff. Get involved. The community is active. Our sub community is great. The resistance space is always open, and we're glad you're a part of it. But guys, make sure you also head to StarWarsNewsNet.com, our website for all of your latest news, reviews, editorials, information, and more. You guys can find me, John Hoey, on Twitter at Johnny Hoey. There's my thing right over there somewhere. Yep. And so James Bainey, where you at?
You can find me on Twitter at Meyer Trunks, mostly just looking around, trying to figure out how to be hip. You know, I'm starting to think it's like red shirts, red headphones, you know what I mean? So I'll have to figure out something, some way to figure out a way to be hip. I don't know what it could be.
Probably holding a red phone over your face.
having all these product red.
Yeah.
Things. Yeah. All right. What's up, Lacey?
Nothing. Hey guys. Awesome show. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Lacey Gillerin, where I talk about Star Wars and defend Ben Solo against people like John.
I think Lacey just thought we were back at the beginning of a show because she did her guys thing.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Well, because it got awkward, so there was like this quiet pause. So I thought I should re-say, hey.
No, the funny thing is James sometimes now tailors his stuff to like, he's holding stuff in front of his face. So the people listening on iTunes are like, is my app not working anymore? What is going on? I have no idea what's going on. James needs a narrator. He needs a Ron Howard
guys,
just for the podcast.
We are less than 100 days away from Star Wars Celebration. I'm so excited. Woo-hoo. I just got to throw that in there. And
yeah,
I can't wait for news to start.
I have to say this, guys. We have a lot of stuff we want to talk to you guys about Celebration, but we don't have all the details we need yet, so just stay tuned on that, and we promise we'll get that all out to you, because we hope to see as many of you as we can at Celebration, especially at our panel. So we hope you guys did enjoy the show. We got to get out of here. Hope you enjoy your weekends, and we'll see you Monday. We're back. We're never sleeping here at the Resistance, so again, enjoy your weekends. We'll see you Monday with another episode right here on the Resistance Broadcast, and we'll see you around, kids.